So, welcome on NordX stage to this talk on in the, let's call it the space track of this camp, because around this time is all the space talks, and this is a good overview, I think, or a presentation about how big plans are being made up and how things are going. So space is always a great endeavor, and space is difficult, but space brings out a lot of the best of us. And today I am very happy to introduce to you Lars Weiler, who is going to talk to you about what came of the great plans of 2011 camp, about the failed space program of the hacker scene. Lars, your stage.
Thank you. So, hello everyone. So this is just a short talk, so a 20 minutes talk, so they can get some water afterwards quickly. And I have 20 slides. I think I will get through in time. I hope so, at least. In 2011, as just said, we had this chaos communication camp. Who had been there? Just quick question. Okay, great. I can see a t-shirt over here. Great. At Camp 2011, we asked for a space program, or we created a space program and asked to participate in the space program. And we said, well, we want to have something nice in 2035, that's 23 years from Camp 2011 on, and we want to see a review in 2034. Now it's, I would say, half time, and let's review what we achieved so far. Well, yeah, you cannot see that really good. Space program of the hacker scene, that was, I think it was Camp 2007 even. It's from the slides in 2011, just took it out. We had a bold idea for the hacker community, and I don't think that I can read the text over there. I will read it out. We call all hackers of the planet Earth for a global space program, as the time has come to start. Everywhere you look, you see no solutions, and a big bang seem unavoidable. There seems to be no big solutions for a better future. You can still read it in the Camp 2011 wiki. It's still in there. So what were our ideas at that time? First, we wanted to create a satellite network. A satellite network so that we can communicate all over the world, all hackerspaces, or hack spaces nowadays, can communicate without using any, well, communication infrastructure which is owned by someone private. So if we have our own satellites in space, we can use it all over the world. Well, we asked to have it ready by 2019. I don't think so. We have some satellites in orbit which can be used by amateur radio persons. There's even a geostationary satellite now which covers, I would say, one third of the Earth, which you can use, but it's owned by Qatar, so it's also in private hands, and I don't think that it will allow every content via their satellite. Something similar happened, which is something I wanted to see at, or in 2019. You probably know it's Starlink. It would be the best thing if you can use it as a hacker scene, but it's a private thing, and as you know, Starlink don't allow free communication in every part of the world or at their coverage. So I think that one failed a little bit. Second, we said, well, let's send a hacker in orbit. So just in a rocket, have it in orbit and bring him safely, or her, bring her safely back. Nowadays, we can do private space flights. We see it quite often, but there is no rocket in the hacker scene. I couldn't see a rocket which can bring someone into orbit yet in the hacker scene. Something we did not develop so far, and I think that one failed as well. And the last proposal we did was, or the last challenge we did for the next 23 years in 2011, sent a hacker on the moon. That's the original slide from 2011. So, well, we have 11 years left. Probably we can do it by 2034, but I don't think so. So, why did we talk so much about doing a space program? And in retrospect, I think we had a little bit like a space flight hype. So, in the 2010s. You remember there's this podcast, Raumzeit, probably some of you listened to it. Tim Pritlove created it, so who else? And he started in 2010. So probably this podcast even sent us some dreams of what we can achieve. And we started with this hackerspace program in 2011. And later on, even at the Congress in 2016, we had this ESA director, Jan Werner, at our Chaos Communication Congress, the 33C3, probably you also remember. So we had a lot of spaceflight, and just announced before this talk that we had several talks about spaceflight even at this camp over here. So there are still people who do something with spaceflight. So not only 2010s, probably there's still a little bit of idea doing space flight, and that we have this small hype. And, oh, something broke. Anyways, we think we can do exploration. So in my generation, I would say probably one of the last Gen X or one of the first millennials, we had not this experience to see great explorations to the space, the moon, and so on, like the generation before, into the great unknown, probably. We couldn't see that one in our childhood, and probably we had the image, so let's do it now, as grown-ups, as hackers. We could do it. It seems so close that we can do it. But I would also think that this might be a little bit of escapism. So flee from the changing world. Let's create something as a sex scene. So as you could remember, so before we had there seems to be no big solutions for a better future, as you probably can remember. So probably this was also say, let's create something that we can flee from this catastrophe we will see in the future. But now I think, well, I was so stupid. I don't like this talk from 2011 anymore. I faced the reality and I saw space flight is boring. Well, if you want to take a trip to another planet, it takes months or even years, and you have to survive that. And later on, you're on Mars and see it's already inhabited by robots. I don't know. I don't want to be on Mars exactly. So it might be boring. I think it will be boring. And I also saw that our world changed. This world we are living on since the last 12 years, I could not imagine how much this world changed through the last 12 years. Talking about, well, doom or climate catastrophe or the pandemic, you know, or we are part of it right now. But if you want to do space exploration, we need this Earth. This is our basis. We need this Earth to go to space in the future. We cannot live without Earth, and we have to fix our Earth. We have to fix our one spaceship we already have over here, Spaceship Earth. You know the term. So I thought, well, how can we fix Earth? How can we do that? And it was during the first phase of the pandemic in 2020, when I heard about a quite interesting term, I heard about solar punk. Who heard about solar punk yet? You're here for it. Okay, great. It was in 2020 when the solar punk group or solar punk people released a so-called manifesto, what is solar punk and how should we create it. And I must say, I fell in love with solar punk. It's so nice, this future optimism. So there's a kind of spirit in it. So like this Star Trek future, the Star Trek future where humanity fixed itself, where we could overcome all those problems we right now have. And it felt like a little bit this green ecology movement in the 80s or 90s. If you're a little bit older, you probably remember that. So it felt a little bit like that. So you can do something and it will be better in the future. And so I thought, well, solar punk, it's great. It's hope. But what's it about? What are the goals of solar punk? So the first item in the solar punk manifesto says, we are solar punks because optimism has been taken away from us and we are trying to take it back. And solar punk tries to overcome this ecological crisis. It started in 2008. Most of solar punk is about being more ecological, being more green, I would say. But it's not that technology agnostic, as you can see in other communities. So solar punk wants to use renewable energy, or solar punk wants to live in communities with a lot of social inclusiveness, positive psychology, and being decentralized. Self-sustainability is also a big part of solar punk. Do-it-yourself ethic, and this thoughtful adaption or application of technology. And solar punk is also art. It's art in a kind of Art Nouveau, or as we say in German, Jugendstil. If you look closely at the goals of solar punk, you can think, is this camp forever? So, like being in a solar punk future over here? Well, yes, but you have to grow your own food and use proper houses. And of course, get rid of your waste. We heard that before. And then I looked into our space program again, and it reminded me of something. If you scroll back to the space program from 2011, we also called for different spheres of activity. We called for spheres of activity in, I should read it because you can't read it. Our projects are concrete and not only art. You can part them in three big areas: communication, research, and humans in space. The hacker scene has the benefit to rely on great knowledge in its hackerspaces, which are located around the globe. We want a great society where the future can have a future. That's also part of the space program, even. And let me quickly, in the last 5 minutes, go through this this space program again, and let's have a closer look to these challenges. And probably even the challenges from the space program in 2011 might become useful for solar punk, because they're a little bit similar, I would say. So we have challenges in communication. As I said before, the satellite communication, satellite network. Probably we will not have a complete network, but we might have satellites which can observe the Earth, observe the ground, the soil, observe the oceans. It's also useful for solar punk even. And probably also need a ground station network for it. So this might be something we can also turn into something we can use for solar punk and not only for space travel. We also need ideas for long-range communication in our space program, or from our space program, even for solar punk. And we should do some research. Research for the production of energy. Well, in space you can use solar panels on the space stations we already have right now on our spaceships. Something we can also use over here on Earth, and we can also use wind or thermal power and so on and so on. In 2011, we also asked for creating a weather balloon to see how the weather might be. Probably we could have used that for camp even this year. You remember we had some strange weather over here, and a weather balloon could have told us a little bit better if there will be a thunderstorm here or not. We asked to create a moon rover. Well, okay, we don't need that exactly for solar punk, but it would be great to have some helpers on the ground like this. Well, you can't see it exactly. It's a picker for salad or so, for cabbage. And probably you can also use it here to have helper vehicles which do the stupid, boring work for us, at least. We could use transport vehicles, and I saw some really nice vehicles over here on camp, so not only cargo bikes, but some strange stuff, I don't have a name for it, but something really, really nice, and we could have more of it, and it would be really nice to create something like that as our Hackspace community, or Hackspace community. We could do the rocket science, research and rocket science for our satellites so that they can go up and create a transporter so that it can move from one location to the next one very quick. Well, okay, I don't think that will work. Even wormholes, that might be also a little bit problematic. And we have the third sphere of activity, humans in space. And that's, I think, a real interesting one, even for solar punk. So we need to talk about social systems that should not collapse. So if you live in little communities, in solar punk communities, we also need some systems so that we can rely on each other and don't kill each other, or something like that. We also need space residence modules, well, not for space, but at least habitats on Earth, which are even hazard-proof. We might also need space food, not exactly space food, but food which has high nutrition and which is also well storable, even if we don't have any cooling. I don't think that we have cooling in the future so much, and well, it's also quite interesting. We need to research something about water supply or crops growing. That was all in our original space program, even waste management and something about sports equipment as well. There's something more for space. I think on Earth we do not need research something special for sports equipment, even if we have to go into the field or so. And there's also space futurism. That's about more or less about art. And talking about art, I heard people who said, well, solar punk is an art and literary genre only. So that there is no real solar punk yet. But I think it could become real if we focus on that one. So, as I said, I don't like this idea of the space program, the hacker scene anymore. I don't want to send a human in space or onto the moon. But I think we can use those challenges from 2011 and do something better to create a better future here on Earth and even help the solar punk movement or become part of it. That would be really interesting. Thank you. Your micro is not on, yeah. I think.
So it's on my side. So it's thank you very much for your presentation. Very interesting, very interesting viewpoint. I think we have time for exactly one question from the audience. So let's make that happen. There gotta be questions. There's one.
Hello. So yeah, thanks for the great talk. I like the replacement. But how do you know that in 12 years you will not say the same about solarpunk?
Well, might be. It depends on how we do it or how we become part of it. I just want to throw in solarpunk as a term of future optimism, as I said before. And probably some of you can go out and say, well, I should look deeper into it. Solarpunk is not, it's not fixed yet. I don't think it will be. And I think we can become part of it and develop it into the future we also want to see. We are really close, I think. So with this camp over here, we are really close to solarpunk. But develop a little bit more and make it camp forever with growing our own food and so on and so on. That's our task, that's our part. More questions or not?
Yes. I think we ran out of time. It's a very short short slot. But thank Lars again for his presentation here.
Thank you.